revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank WeTalk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Organization. Tonight's topic: is it cool to be a thug? Is it me, or is there a thug culture growing in America? Is that okay? Thugs of the 60s and 70s stood on the corner singing, drinking wine, fighting, stealing, and running from the police. They were a loosely organized, geographically located group. They were considered the bad boys, the gang of the neighborhood. Some were cocky, intimidating, opportunistic, defensive, protective, playful, cool, hot, cold, aggressive, dangerous, violent, and some were doomed. Death was the ultimate price some paid for their lifestyle and culture. Danger lurked wherever they were. They exist in a perpetual state of war. It was not difficult to identify a thug back in those days because he had a particular cultural style of dress. Sometimes regular guys joined the gang, sometimes good guys joined, sometimes smart guys joined the gang, though it is not a smart or good decision. Some graduated to higher, more complex and organized social orders. We call them gangsters like Lucky Luciano, Al Capone, Bumpy Johnson, Frank Lucas, Sam Christian, to name a few. They had power, money, respect, and fame, also feared. Then, the drug gang culture came like a tidal wave of destruction with more drugs, more guns, more fear, more money, more power, and more respect. Though, through this culture, one could achieve material goals that were once unachievable. Like their Hollywood counterparts, some gained notoriety due to their earning power, infamy, brutality, and extravagant lifestyle. The American dream became somewhat of a reality and a nightmare. Nowadays, the thug ideology appears to have been adopted by many youth and young adults. It seems like everybody is a killer, or at least a potential assassin. Can we blame it on the media's portrayal of thug life in America? Not just in the black communities, but Italian, Irish, Chinese, and other communities? Did they make it look that good? That delicious? Did Hollywood make thug life look attractive, or did the thugs in the community make it look attractive? Is it a combination of both? Art imitating life? Life imitating art? Is it a response to a traumatized, impoverished, oppressed, drug-infested, violent, exploited community? A method of survival? A twisted cry out to be respected, heard, protected, recognized? Has that trauma given birth to the spirit of hopelessness and helplessness, the spirit of disregard, disdain, selfishness, aggression? Has negativity and failure become a cultural aspiration for some? For the most part, at the end of the day, many thugs do not end up in nice places. Yes, some survive their decisions and turn the corner of life. Some are snatched out of the gate of life prematurely. To quote the poet Noor, if you fail to do right, you can succeed at doing wrong. Is that the idea? You know, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. A waste of mind is a waste of time. A waste of time is a waste of life. From the BBC News, Mr. Bradley Campbell from the, says the origin of the world, the word thug, 14th century, says Megan Garber, there was a gang of criminals known as the Thuggee. Thuggees were a huge criminal network that operated around India's main roads. They would befriend travelers, gain travelers' trust, then they murder them, usually by strangulation, and steal their valuables. That sounds familiar. Sounds like the new trend of robbery and homicide that I see had developed lately. Anyway, thug again, it says in 1810, a member of the, this is from Urban Dictionary, 1810, a member of a gang of murderers and robbers in India who strangled their victims, right? So, I don't see anything positive associated with the word thug. You know, these thugs were a band of roving criminals in India who strangled and robbed travelers. Originally, these gangs committed murder following precise religious rites to honor Kali, the Hindu goddess of destruction. There's a lot of destruction that it comes with thug's life, but the thug's life also, so that's still here. He's a violent person, especially a criminal, ruffian, hoodlum, bully. They got some stuff in here I never heard of. Bandit, mugger, gangster, terrorist, gunman, murderer, killer, hitman, assassin, hooligan, vandal, yard day. I don't even know what that means. Synonyms, rough, some stuff in there. Anyway, hoodie, hood, goon, ruffian, cutthroat, desperado. So far, to be so popular, is not very positive. So provocative thoughts send me saying, not a good look at all. Could you put any of these attributes on an employment application? Could you trust someone with these attributes? Now, newsflash. Without trust, there is no unity. Without unity, there is conflict. With disunity and conflict, there is war. With war, there is death. With death, there is the deadening of the heart and mind, the destruction of the family, the man, woman, child, or children. Do some of us thrive on chaos, anarchy, and darkness? Can you thrive on chaos, anarchy, and darkness? Got this from the Urban Dictionary also. Talked about thug life. Apparently, Tupac wore this acronym on his body somewhere. It says thug life, but it said it means that the hate you give little infants fucks everyone. This acronym was made popular by American rap artist Tupac. The code of thug life were a set of codes written by Tupac. The codes were designed to give order to the rise of gang violence and drug dealing. It made certain immoral actions against the code, which would become a code of the street. These codes were signed by heads of the Bloods and the Crips at the peace treaty picnic called the True Picnic in California in 1992. Thug Life was a rap group formed by Tupac, which consisted of him and four others. Hope I get these names right. Mopreme, Macadocious, Big Psych, and the Rated R. Rapper Tupac was imprisoned on allegations. The rappers would disband, right? Some would regroup after Tupac's release from jail, signing Death Row Records, right? And they called themselves the Outlaws, right? So the code, the Thug Life code, says, number one, all new jacks to the game must know he's going to get rich, he's going to jail, he's going to die. Well, that's something to look forward to. Let me see. But you know, those last two don't sound like something I want to be a part of. Crew leaders, you are responsible for legal, financial payment commitments to crew members. Your word must be your bond. That's nice. One cruise rat is every cruise rat. Rats are now like a disease. Sooner or later, we all get it, and they should too. Rat is a snitch. So you, just in case you don't, that's an old term that I guess these guys resurrected. Crew leader and posse should select a diplomat and should work ways to settle disputes. In unity, there is strength. All right. Carjacking in our hood is against the code. Slinging the children is against the code. Having children slinging is against the code. Slinging is selling dope, y'all. Sell dope on the street, right? No slinging in the schools. Since the rat Nicky Barnes opened his mouth, Ricky Barnes is a big-time slinger from New York. I think he's from New York. Since he opened his mouth, ratting has become accepted by some. He said, we're not having it. Snitches is out of here. So a lot of gifts of the snitches. The boys in blue don't run nothing. We do. Control the hood and make it safe for squares. So I guess that's the guy that's trying to get his education, not trying to hurt nobody and do nothing like that. It should the community. He said the community should be safe for them guys. No slinging to pregnant sisters. That's baby killing. That's genocide. Know your target. Who's the real enemy? That's an interesting on number 13 right there. Who is the real enemy? Civilians are not a target and should be spared. Harm to children will not be forgiven. Attacking someone's home where their family is known to reside must be altered or checked. Senseless brutality and rape must stop. Our old folks must be abused. See, this is good. He got some good stuff in here. Respect our sisters. respect our brothers. Sisters in the life must be respected if they respect themselves. So they're going to respect you if you respect you. If you don't respect yourself, you're probably going to get dogged. Military disputes concerning businesses, areas within the community must be handled professionally and not on the block. And that's all we get is a bunch of on the block shooting, definitely over here in Philadelphia. No shooting at parties. Best place to catch somebody. Concerts and parties are neutral territories. No shooting. Excellent place to catch somebody. Know the code. It's for everyone. Be a real roughneck. Be down with the code of the thug life. Protect yourself at all times. Right? So that was the thug life code. Wow. This appears to be an attempt to deal with people where they are. So I'm going to commend these guys for, I know some people might be listening to that saying, what? But, you know, in trying to raise people, you can't raise them to where you want them to be. You have to start where they are. And then they'll raise themselves up. You give them the tools. So, and you know, I'm gonna give these guys a thumbs up for coming up with something that says, hey, we need to cut down on some of this violence in our community. That's what I get out of that. Okay, because, you know, he's not going to stop these guys from doing whatever they're doing. So, okay, can we fall back on some of the violence? Can we save some of the people from the violence that's occurring in the community that's not involved in this? Don't get people who are not involved, right? Okay, so that part sounds good. That theme coming through there. Even though, you know, a lot of people I know might say that sounds like these guys just creating another criminal organization. Well, he's speaking toward two criminal organizations. So, with that in mind, you know, that thug, what do they call it? Thug life, or the code of the street that they created, if adhered to, should have an impact on where people decide to shoot, when they decide to shoot. Even though we know we can't legislate people's emotions, if somebody kills somebody, you know, people are going to just go out there and do what they do. Anyway, Tupac and Company probably reached a lot of people. People in the life, people who wanted to be in the life, people who were going to be in the life. That's the start. Slinging dope in the community is an assault on men, women, and children, born and unborn, in the community. The best way to exterminate a roach is to get a roach to take the poison back to his community. Get it? Roach baits, crack cocaine, and heroin. The same thing, same game. If you don't want a child to be exposed to dope, don't sell dope in the community. Don't make it fashionable, cool, hip to use or sell drugs, murder, assault, be aggressive, or disrespectful. Somebody has to put the brakes on this runaway train before it crashes, burns, and blows up. From mentalflaws.com by Kelly Bryant, the syndicate was invested in about 7 legitimate businesses. You don't know who the syndicate is? It was a guy by the name of Lucky Luciano, Meyer Lansky, and Bugsy Siegel. So those are very famous and powerful gangsters back in the 20s. I think it's the 20s. And what they basically did, they got everybody together and said, hey, look, we all need to work together. Something like what Tupac just said. This is what we need to do so that we can make money. All this killing and stuff, we need to talk about how we handle business and, you know, so forth like that. Anyway, they invested in legitimate businesses. Message. You know, I'm not, that's just a little tip. I mean, because, you know, why stay in the ghetto? Why stay in the thick of things? Why keep perpetuating your own doom? I mean, if you're going to go through something as traumatic as that, try to have a light at the end of the tunnel. Not, as he said, you're going to get rich, you're going to jail, and you're going to die. That's not nothing to look forward to. If thug life is a means to an end, let's move toward the light at the end of the tunnel. If it is not, then we are truly doomed. I get why people would move out or never move into our communities. Negative growth perpetuates negative growth. Death perpetuates more death. I wouldn't want my child to be affected or influenced by a constant barrage of negativity. Maybe thugs perceive their ideology as positive or at least necessary. What about defending the right to life of every community member, perpetuating education, science, agriculture, spirituality, collective economics, collective politics, and employment in the community? Turn negativity into positivity. Save yourselves and your generations. The community is not simply your neighborhood or church. The community is the people, your people, our people. You have the power. Use it. Sling the things the community needs to grow, to live, and to excel. It's not just the gang members or drug gang members, though. It's hard to tell who's who because folks simply act and look like they're observing thug life. The disrespect of person, property, and sanctity of life in the community is overwhelming. Is this what our leaders marched, suffered, and died for? I think not. We are descendants of kings, queens, scholars, scientists, architects, philosophers, educators, warriors, spiritual leaders of ancient times and times not so long ago. We have lost our minds and our way. Surely there are many amongst us that can and will nurture the minds of the stricken, raise up a nation from the ashes of the fire of our mind, those who are willing to be a light in our moment of darkness that will encourage men and women to seek a higher ground. Found some more interesting definitions in the Urban Dictionary. None of them were positive when it came to, you know, the word thug or even gang member or anything like that. Don't get hung up on the word. The point is simply, be you a thug, gangster, hoodlum, or whatever term used to describe this ideology and behavior, you are headed down a dark path and a risk to yourself and the community, men, women, and children. There can be no happy ending to a thug's life. Can you really be happy with so much plight? Tupac said that number one, you're going to get rich. How many thugs get rich? You're going to go to jail. How many rich guys you know go to jail? And you're going to die. Well, that's going to happen to everybody. So that's a promise I don't think I want nobody to make to me. I don't know. I call me stupid, you know. Or, you know, I don't know. Is it me or what do you guys think? Here's some more things about a thug. And I think we all know that a thug, gangster, anything associated with that basically has a negative connotation. That those aren't the guys that we send, we put at the head of our communities to be leaders and things like that. Nobody's looking. You can't put a gang leader on your application. Oh, I shot 3 guys in 1 year or 1 night. Now I'm good with a gun. I'm good with a knife. You know, I'm a good earner. You know what I'm saying? I can off a brick in a week by myself. Put that on the application. We have a caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Being a thug.
Hello. Welcome to.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes. How you doing?
Okay. Being a thug is not cool. Unfortunately, it represents men, sometimes teenagers that grow into men if they live that long, that don't think they have a life beyond doing that. They represent men who have given up on doing it the right way to make money, to be rich, even if that's the goal. And death is their final answer in a mostly a violent way. Either they be shot or be shot by the police. There's not a happy ending. And also in the spiritual light, God is not in that. They are truly alone. They might have 1,000 members, but they are alone if they're not, obviously not walking with the Lord. And a beautiful future he has for all the men if they walk that path. The path they walk is a life of violence and of evil. No, it is not cool. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. Okay, so it's not cool from our caller. And I'm going to agree with her. You know, this is not a cool thing. And we need to develop other alternatives for our community members. We need to give them something else other than, as he said, you're going to get rich, you're going to go to jail, and you're going to die. Okay, because the minute you're born, we all know you're going to die. We don't need anybody to tell us that. All right? And we all can't be rich. It's just not going to happen. But a lot of us can go to jail. Now, it seems like that part right there is really real. It's like that's one thing you can look forward to, going to jail. I said, because they build prisons all the time. When one gets full, they build another one, because that's how many people are, you know, earning their way to prison. Trouble's easy to get into, hard to get out of. So, you know, that's, you know, is that what we want? We want our, you know, children going to school, getting educated, learning trades, developing ways to improve their life, your life, the community's life. You know, do we want to develop assets to the community, or do we want to further, you know, have the community threatened? Welcome to Provocative Thought. Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
It's Q.
Q.
How you doing?
Q. All right.
Yeah, I agree. It's not cool. Definitely not cool. I don't know. Some people, they got to hit. Something happens to certain people, you know, like they experience some loss, like someone I was talking to. I'm pretty much a 9-to-5 type of person, you know. I went to school and, you know, but the idea of getting a job to retire and, you know, that whole thing. And this person was pretty much the same way. And this person told me that when they lost their mother, that they kind of lost it. So, like, anything that they was doing, as far as, like, that, you know, like, weed or something like that, everything just kind of got magnified. And the next thing you know, they're 180 degrees the other way. You know what I mean? It's like all the drugs and selling the drugs and, you know, the violence and everything. You know, it's you just kind of like lost itself, like, you know. But that's back when we were in our 20s, and now he's back on the right track. You know, he's left all that other stuff alone, but at the same time, he's like so many years behind now. You know, he doesn't have, like, most things that someone his age would have right now. You know, it's like he's, like, way behind and stuff.
Right.
And, you know, I think a lot of people, I don't know, they're doing that thing until they get to a certain loss. They lose so much that, I don't know, it's like, okay, I'm done with all that. or they get to a certain age, you know, they can't even really do those type things that they used to do anymore. They're not intimidated anymore. You know, everybody that they was with, their whole crew is gone, locked up or dead or something like that. Or maybe they reached their end earlier, and I mean the end of the street life, and they wised up and they settled down and got on the right track. You know what I mean? They kind of like reached the end of their resources as far as that's concerned, and now they see it's time for them to straighten out too. You know, it seemed like almost like a fade or something like that. It's like, I'm 40-something now, that other stuff I don't do anymore. All that stuff that gets me locked up, that used to get me locked up, I don't do that anymore. You know, like 20-year-old stuff I used to do. I'm through with that. Some people, anyway. And some people
nice.
Do
so,
it to the end.
So what about the people who are not actually in the actual selling drugs and stuff like that who act that same way? Younger than that. They could be in middle school. They could be, they could be high school students. They could be, what about that generation? Those young people, those very young people who act, thuggish.
Yeah, they've been.
They don't sell dope or anything. They're not doing anything into nothing, but they're acting that way. They roll around in groups, something like the gangs of the '60s and the '70s. They have the same kind of response. Mm-hmm. You know, F you.
Right, they kind of hostile and everything like that. Yeah.
Right. You know, they want to take up the curb.
Mm-hmm.
Don't respect the person in the neighborhood. You know, you walk down the block, want to sit on your car, don't want to move on your steps, don't want to get up and move, and look at you like you nasty for even suggesting that they should get off your steps. What about those people, even that violation of the code that Tupac and his voice came up with.
Yeah.
So, what do you think about the Tupac and his group's code? And it seemed like it was a big deal out in California that these guys signed off on. I don't know how well that they adhere to it or not, but do you think that in terms of his intent, good?
I'm not feeling what they were saying. I'm not feeling that at all. Sound like some kind of like a rationalization or something. I don't know.
Sound like Lucky Luciano holding a syndicate meeting or something like that. And I'm saying, here's how we gonna do it. I heard some good stuff in there. You know, they said basically the guys is not in it. They shouldn't be touched by this. Right, the squares, a square should get to go to school, trying to get his education wise, he should be allowed to get it, leave him alone, don't bully him, right?
Mm-hmm.
He shouldn't be walking through the neighborhood afraid of nobody.
Right.
So if you're a square, you come to the neighborhood, you mind your business, you all right with them. But it's kind of, makes you think that, well, if I'm minding my business, this is my neighborhood, and you pushing dope in my neighborhood, how can I, not address you? So basically, that's another problem.
Because
that could end up in somebody getting hurt. It seemed to me Tupac was just trying to put a Band-Aid on the wound, you know what I'm saying? He wasn't trying to end what these guys were doing, but he's trying to minimize the bleeding. Put the tourniquet on some of the bleed, saying, school's off limits. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I grew up, school wasn't off limits. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I had a knife put to my neck in school. In the classroom. You know, so school was not off limits. Too, but this guy saying, hey, school's off limits. Kids trying to learn something. Leave them alone. You know, so I mean, that's how I saw some good things in it, even though it's criminal, it has a base in its target population that are people who are committing crimes. He's trying to curb some of the behavior in terms of being a thug. I don't know what this guy's mission was. That might be one step in what he was trying to do. I don't know, but, you know, seems like the whole, this thug attitude, you know, like, you know, watch the kids in the neighborhood and you know, watch the kids out in, what's it, middle school. They come out there and almost every day they fight. And it ain't one or two of them. It's a bunch of them. That's the kind of stuff that the gangs went through. But it's not a gang. It's just the kids getting out of school. And it's females, too. I mean, it's not just guys. It's males and females out there. And at some point, it was some parents out there. You know, so I'm like, you know, what is going on in the community? Is everybody turning to these, like, type people? We're going to F you up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, is that what it is? You know what I'm saying? Everybody had that I'm going to F you up attitude. And is that attitude come from this whole thing about, because I don't see that coming from the gang thug era, but I see it coming from the drug era, where the gang started to perpetuate the sale of drugs and things like that. Now you see more people with this attitude. I'll F you up. People come to the school, want to, you know, do it to the teachers or what, you know, waiting for you after school. You know, it's like the children have no regard to say anything. Parents back them up. It's like you just got another, you know, situation. It's not a, you know, it just seems like everybody's just rough and tumble, kind of like burly, kind of like people. You know, not everybody. I'm not saying everybody's like that, but I'm talking like this school right across the street from, you know, from mom's house. Hey, they were coming out of there rumbling every day. And that's not even an exaggeration. To the police had to sit outside. Elementary school. I mean, middle school, elementary up to the eighth grade, it's coming out rumbling. Parents sometimes out there, too. So, you know, you kids walk down the street, they don't want to move off the curb, they don't want to move, let you walk down, you know. You say, what's going on? Like, what is going on? I remember that, not moving off the curb for certain people, like your age. If you're in a gang, you're going to bump them and say, they better move out your way. That's just because you just intimidating them. You know what I mean? You being that way. You know what I'm saying? That you don't know them. You know what I'm saying? Somebody you don't know, you might bump them. You know, but, you know, kids now, like, you know, we move out of the way. The gang don't stop your parent from walking down the street. You know what I'm saying? That kind of thing didn't go on. But we got kids now, and I'm talking about smaller than small kids. I ain't talking about no 15, 16-year-old. I'm talking about even smaller than that. They do not have a sense of respect and boundaries and things like that. And everybody has this attitude, you know, this, you know, aggressive attitude, you know, a lot of kids. And I'm just saying, like, it's just, you know, hanging out at the, on the corner of the Chinese store, you're talking about that. That was, that, that's what life is, you know. Is that where we headed in the community?
Right.
And I'm not saying that you can't buy the Chinese food and nothing like that. I'm just saying, you know, what are we headed for? You know what I'm saying? You know, people not getting good education. Get the education that they're giving you. How about that? Master what they're giving you, then complain.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to get your education in the school because the people, children, the students coming into the school coming in with this aggressive attitude, behavior. So you got all these fights. You got people. You got a guy that came to get his education is intimidated now. You know, so now he can't get education, and now it looks like he needs a therapist because that's what it's doing to him because he's not there for that nonsense. He's there to get education. Or he's being disciplined with a point to the point that now he's become a disciplinary problem in the school just in self in the defense of himself. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, so all that's kind of like, That is the stuff gang war guys got into. But I'm saying now I see like regular kids exhibiting the same type of behavior. You know, come up to school, jump somebody, things like that. They're not associated with any particular gang. It's just you and your friends. This is just something that's happening after school. You know, it's like, you know, is it cool to be a thug? You know, they wearing their pants down off the butt. That part of thug life. You know what I'm saying? Is that cool?
Right.
You know, I don't see any of the powerful people in this country wearing their pants like that. You know what I'm saying? I don't see anybody. All the people that have power, the police, right, the military, the politicians, right? I don't see any of them, the filthy rich, right? I don't see even though, what's the bull name, 50 Cent wearing his pants up.
Right.
I seen a picture of him with his suit on. Jay-Z, Jay-Z ain't walking around with his ass up, with his pants down by his thighs. So, you know, and my thing is like, well, that's a lot of energy being put into what if you could just redirect that energy into doing more positive things? So, you know what I'm saying?
All right. Yep.
You know, so why can't that happen? And, if you want more or something better for your community, you have to want to live and other people to live because you want to be around to enjoy these changes, right? You don't want to be incarcerated or dead. You want to be around to enjoy it. So, what's the benefit in? Is it some psychological benefit just in your mind? I'm tough. I'm this. I'm that. I'm going through it. You know what is that all? I'm trying to figure out what's that all about. You know, because if you don't have to be a thug, it's probably in your best interest not to jump into that. You haven't been forced in that situation. You're not already in it. It might be in your best interest not to be in that situation. I don't understand it. You know, like I was reading, like even some of these entertainers associated with these gangbanging guys. Like I don't understand that.
Right.
You know, they didn't come up that way, but they got older. I don't know, it's like a step. But the guy even said that about Tupac. Let's say that Tupac should have left that thing alone. You know, let's say he shouldn't, even in that casino, should have jumped that guy. If his people there could handle that. And he really didn't need to, he didn't need to be a gangbanger at all. He didn't need to be associated with a gangbanger. Of course, you're going to know these guys because they're brothers. And, you know, you come in contact with them because they were in that, you know, geographical area that you went in the same business that you're going to come in contact with them. You don't have to join the gang. Just like in a community, you don't have to join the gang. Everybody's not from the gang, right? So, you know, so why is it now that seems like, you know, it's just this attitude that's just in the community where everybody's just thuggish. You know what I'm saying? They have this grimy kind of way about them, disrespectful, you know. And they're not in it. They're not even always the ones that's into something. You know, so that's a problem to me, then, because we can't grow type of attitude. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, thugs, when you think of the word thug, who's looking for a thug? Who's most of the time looking for a thug?
A thug?
Another thug. Right. Another thug, right? And law enforcement.
Yeah.
So, come on. I mean, like, and I'm looking at that first rule, you know, you're going to get rich. I doubt very seriously most thugs are rich. You're going to jail. You're going to go to jail. And you're going to die. How many people is looking for that job? You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
They got like, you know, let's do an experiment. Put that in the one ad. See how many people apply for that job. You know,
right.
But apparently we got some people, you know, signing up in the hood for that job.
Yeah, sometimes it's their it's what they're taught, like their home life, their foundation is all of that. You know, they never got anybody. The major person, their parent, who's been raising them, they come from exactly what we're talking about. You know, maybe they had a kid real young, and their kid had a kid young. You know what I mean? It's kind of like generational, and that's kind of like where they come from. That whole hostile, young and hostile, and everything like that. And then when they go back home with their problem, their support is not trying to tell them how to do it and how to handle things properly. They tell them, oh, well, you need to do this. You need to go out there and hurt something, or, you know what I mean? Or don't let them talk to you that way, you know. And then their support is coming with the same thing, you know. Instead of coming to, if they're coming out to support this young person, they're not coming out there with, you know, with a constructive or positive thing. They're coming out there with more of the same thing that this young person coming with, the hostility and everything like that.
Right. Right. Like at the school across the street. That's what happened. I guess that's what's happening. The parents is out there acting worse than the kids.
Right. They come up to the school to address their kids' problem. And instead of getting an adult perspective or response, you get more of the same response that the kid is giving, you know. So that's where the kid get it from. They get it from their single parent that had them when they was in high school or something like that.
Okay, so with that in mind, that being intergenerational, would that be the result of this we have another call. Would that be the result of the oppression and poverty? Mr. Jones, how you feeling today, my brother?
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good, man. Feeling pretty good. Interesting topic. Interesting responses. I have a different take on it. I don't know any kid. You know, I can remember when I was young, we had James Cagney, Humphrey Bogart, glorifying gangsters, gangsterism, thug life, like today. We have music, we have movies. You know, it's one thing I respect about Wesley Snipes and Denzel Washington. They say, well, you know, New Jack City. You know, how come he couldn't live? You know, that'd be glorify the drug dealer. You know, with Denzel played that character, Training Day. You know,
right.
In the original script, he was supposed to get away. No, that'd be glorify a bad dude. Yeah, he was supposed to get away in the original script. And Denzel said, nah, he got to die. You know, like you were saying, you know, the end result. You know, I don't know any. I knew a lot of thugs or hustlers or wannabe gangsters. If they went to prison a couple times, that was it. That was it. None got rich except for one. Got, I guess, ghetto rich. And not rich
right.
Compared to, well, rich. but he don't have to work. You know, he got
right.
A house and a little candy store and whatnot. But he been to prison several times. You know? And but I think it's the glorification of the lifestyle, and everybody wanted to test it. Everybody want to test it, see if they could do it. Even myself. When I was in high school, you know, I did a couple of things. I'm not going to share over the radio, but I did a couple of things, you know, that weren't too nice, you know. My problem is I did the white folks. You know, at least I had common sense not to rip off my own people. And we abusing each other. We're killing each other. You know, a lot of times we talk about police brutality, but this whole lifestyle is that we're killing each other, we're harming each other, and we said that the thug life contract, that we're disrespecting our women, we disrespect the children. Children are innocently getting killed by stray bullets. Cause, like you say all the time, a bullet don't have no names on it. You know, so... So, you know what? I don't care how much spirituality you have in the home. I don't care how much love you have in the home, education you have in the home, or structure you have in the home. That kid got to go outside. And peer groups is very, very highly powerful on a teenager. You know, he may not want to do, but he want to be in that peer group. And that peer group may not always be the best group of friends to have, but they cool though. They got the hat to the side. You know, like you was saying earlier, that they dress a certain way, which, and also, it's an F you to establishment. You know, a lot, you know, before the crack epidemic, you know, gangsters had a little respect in the community because it was the F you to the establishment. You're sticking, especially the number runners. Remember the number runners callers? They had big respect. Cops was playing numbers with them, and the government stole their business. You know, but it was the F you to the establishment because you're sticking it to us. But since, you know, the crack wars and everything of the 80s, you know, people changed their attitude towards people that have, I call, alternative lifestyle. You know, so that's my little take on the topic of thug life. I mean, by no means I'm condoning the behavior, but there's in every, I don't want to stereotype. In every certain cultures, you kind of want to test the waters, you know, whether it be peer group, because, you know, the peer group or it's exposure or just observation, you know, because they look like they don't have to answer to nobody. Yeah, they have to answer somebody eventually, 5-0. So, that's how I look at it.
Well, I appreciate you calling in. Good to see you feeling okay, brother.
Yeah. Thank you. And everybody, they can tune in on my show on Tuesday evening. Hear my big mouth again.
All right.
But
all right,
Carl, be
cool. All right, bro. Okay, so there we have it. You know, I just want to say that, you know, that's a hell of a thing to do. You pat yourself on the back, you know, or just to get some attention. You know, just that whole attitude. You can't take that attitude with you many places and be successful. You have to, you know, but you can take that energy, turn it around and be successful. You understand what I'm saying? The energy that they're using out there. I mean, if you can do that out there on the street and just be about all that nonsense or expose yourself to that nonsense and negativity, just imagine what you could do if you're actually trying to do something to make things better. You know, so on that note, I just want to say, you know, anybody listening, try to get the ear of someone who might be leaning toward thug life or, you know, that type of behavior. Try to help them not make that decision, because we got enough thugs, you know. And I'm not saying everybody is a thug. It's just, to me, I just, from when I was a kid, it seems like I see more thuggish behavior than I see just regular people walking on the street. And I look outside, I see, go, damn, is everybody thug? Is everybody dangerous nowadays? You know what I'm saying? Everybody want to be dangerous. And, you know, guy had a near car crash, get out the car, argue with these guys in another car. Those guys shot that guy down. That had nothing to do with drugs. You know? Well, it might indirectly have something to do with drugs. I don't know. Maybe it's following him to shoot him. I don't know. But, you know, guy's dead now. We don't know. But, you know, that's not the way to solve a problem. And we have to stop glorifying negativity. And let's give the guys those squares that we need to be safe in the community. Let's give them a thumbs up. And let's try to be more squares. A friend of mine said to me, Mr. Tyrone Short, to quote, "It's cool to be square and square to be cool." And on that note, I want to thank everybody for calling in. And all you listeners, stay tuned next week for Provocative Thought.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Blog Talk Radio.
not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen.